Dayin from BA. This is a Rorschach Arctic update from the 16th of April 2024. A quick summary of what's going down north of the Arctic Circle. The Arctic, once a symbol of peace, has been increasingly militarized. On Monday the 8th, Canada's government unveiled a defense policy titled Our North, Strong and Free. The policy allocates around $50 billion for military initiatives in Canada's Arctic region over the next two decades. However, some indigenous communities like the Satu in the Northwestern Territory are advocating for a share of these funds. In a statement released on Monday, Satu Chairman Charles McNeely argued that investments should be directed towards building road networks through their lands, essential for year-round accessibility for both the public and the military. As the budget will be finalized in the coming weeks, additional projects like these may secure federal funding. With Canada and every other Northern NATO member recently announcing new military funding for Arctic defense, it is no surprise to see Russia following suit. On Monday the 15th, the Russian Defense Ministry told the state-controlled newspaper Izvestia that the government is building several new bases along the Arctic coast for long-range drones. However, Russia isn't the only one in this venture, as the US and Norway are also building new drone bases in the Arctic. There's funding for Alaska's Arctic security too. The Department of Homeland Security has been looking for a location to build a research facility for Arctic security, and on Tuesday the 9th, the department announced that the University of Alaska Anchorage would host the facility. Officials from Homeland Security celebrated at a ceremony held at the university library, where Jeff Libby, the university director, cut a ribbon made of ice with an ice axe. The facility will receive about $50 million of federal funding for the next 10 years of operation. Security in the region is important to more than just the northern countries. On Thursday the 11th, David Rutley, the Polar Minister of the UK, completed a visit to Alaska to attend the Arctic Encounter Symposium in Anchorage. Rutley spoke at the event and affirmed the UK's commitment to Arctic security and prosperity. He noted the need to address the challenges of both climate and military threats, while affirming that the UK's vision of the Arctic is a place of high cooperation and low tension. The Arctic's influence extends far beyond military matters, impacting global climate dynamics. The permanently frozen areas called permafrost, covering about 15% of the northern hemisphere, traditionally act as a crucial carbon sink, storing harmful gases. However, a groundbreaking study published in the journal Global Biogeochemical Cycles on Monday the 15th reveals a concerning trend. Researchers from the University of Stockholm found that since 2000, Arctic permafrost has transitioned from carbon-storing to carbon-releasing regions. Melting permafrost now emits more greenhouse gases than it traps. While Arctic forests may temporarily offset this carbon influx, continued permafrost thawing could transform the Arctic into a source of greenhouse gas emissions. Norway remains committed to maintaining avenues for cooperation with Russia. On Tuesday the 9th, Eivind Vad Pedersen, Norway's state secretary, told the Barents Observer that the country has no intention of terminating any bilateral agreements with Russia concerning their shared border. Since 2013, both nations have allowed visa-free travel across their Arctic border. While neighboring Finland has closed its border with Russia, Pedersen emphasized Norway's stance, believing that maintaining open borders can help alleviate tensions and foster diplomacy between the two countries. Following the abrupt resignation of Iceland's prime minister last week, the government has swiftly moved to fill the void. On Tuesday the 9th, the Icelandic government announced that Bjarni Benediktsson, the foreign affairs minister, would assume the role of prime minister. This decision sparked controversy among voters due to Benedictsson's previous tenure as prime minister in 2017, which lasted 10 months because he was voted out after his cabinet was implicated in the Panama Papers revelations. Recall that in 2016, there was a leak of documents from a Panamanian accounting firm which exposed widespread global tax evasion and money laundering worldwide. The strength of his appointment will be tested immediately because Inga Sjöland, leader of the opposition party, the People's Party, will introduce a vote of no confidence to parliament against the ruling coalition on Saturday the 13th. So it may be another short leadership for Bjarni Benediktsson. Next, to the US, which is taking a major step in conserving its Arctic, the US Interior Department announced on Thursday the 11th that the Biden administration is planning to block oil and gas development across half of the country's national oil reserve. About a century ago, in northern Alaska, a plot of about 100,000 square kilometers was set aside as an emergency oil supply. As part of Biden's effort to conserve the Arctic, over 50,000 square kilometers of this ground will become federally protected lands in the next few days. Murkowski, Alaska's senator, opposed this plan on Thursday, saying it would harm America's energy security. However, the Interior Department says the U.S. has a plentiful energy supply and that this won't harm the country but conserve its most vulnerable environment. There's more good news for Alaska's nature. On Thursday, the 11th, conservation group, the Wilderness Land Trust, announced it has purchased a 5-acre, about 20,000 square meters, plot of land bordering the Tongass National Park and donated it to the protected area. Even though it is a small area of land, it is home to a crucial salmon breeding ground and an old-growth forest, which are both important to Alaska's health and traditional culture. This conservation group does important work all over the US. If you want to learn more about it, follow the link in the show notes. Because of the shifting towards renewable energy, the future of oil, gas, and mining industries in the Arctic hangs in uncertainty. Graham Clinton, a Canadian economist, highlighted this concern in a report presented to Yellow Knives Council on Monday the 8th. The report focuses on the potential economic fallout from the closure of major mines in the Northwestern Territory of Canada by 2030. With hundreds of miners facing unemployment, Clinton warns of a possible $100 million loss to the local economy as families relocate for work elsewhere. While Yellow Knives Council acknowledges the gravity of the situation, concrete plans to address these challenges are yet to emerge. One industry set to be around for a long time in the Arctic is fishing, but all is not well with Greenland's fishermen. On Thursday the 11th, fishermen from across the country gathered in the capital Nuuk to protest against Royal Greenland, the nation's largest fishing company. They believe the company has been paying them too little for their fish. Royal Greenland responded with a press release on the same day, saying they would not meet the protesters and that fish prices are set by global markets, which they have no control over. The fishermen's union still demands an agreement on fish prices, or further strikes and protests will follow soon. Finally, do you ever wish you had a few more hours in the day? It seems the town of Vadsø in Arctic Norway is considering a unique approach to time management, extending its days by 2 hours. Mayor Wenche Pedersen proposed this idea to the European Commission on Wednesday the 10th, seeking permission to establish a local time zone. Despite potential logistical challenges, Pedersen remains unfazed, stating to Politico that she hasn't thought a lot about how to implement such a unique endeavor. The initiative aims to attract tourists and new residents intrigued by the prospect of experiencing a 26-hour day. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. Do you know that besides the Arctic update, we also do others? Our latest one is the Ocean Update, about the 70% of the world covered in salt water. The other ones are all country updates. We have a selection of countries from Africa, Asia, South America, and Europe. Check rorschach.com/updates to see the full list. Find the link in the show notes as well. Hadar!